When we bring the mind into concentration, we're trying to bring the body and the mind together in harmony, in a right relationship. Both sides of that are important, both the harmony and the right relationship. This is why we spend so much time with directed thought and evaluation at the beginning. Evaluating the breath, evaluating the mind, to see how they can fit together nicely. What kind of breathing would feel comfortable right now? In the word comfortable, what does that mean right now? Sometimes comfortable will be energizing. Sometimes it'll be soothing. Sometimes it'll be relaxing, depending on the state of the mind, the state of the body. So you have to learn how to read the situation and see what's needed, so that they'll be happy to stay together. So when they stay together, they can benefit from each other's strengths. The awareness of the mind helps to detect when things are wrong with the body. They can do something about them. As for the body, it gives the mind some grounding. Because otherwise it floats around here, floats around there. As if it gets into these bubbles of thought worlds. And then the bubbles burst and you land wherever. John Lee's image is of having a safe landing strip. The mind wanders around in thoughts and concepts. It's like a plane flying around in the air. If it doesn't have a safe landing strip, then it's going to come crashing down. So give it a good place to land. And more than just land, a place to stay. To stay together requires that you actively work at harmonizing these things. Because the nature of the body and the nature of the mind are two different things. The mind is what knows, thinks. The body is just the elements. Sometimes we attribute to the body things that are actually issues of the mind. I remember one of my first embarrassing discussions with John Fuang about the needs of the body. He said, the body doesn't need much. It'd be perfectly happy to die. It knows nothing about surviving. It's the mind that wants it to survive for the sake of its happiness. And then it forces the body to do things that are not necessarily good for the body. You think of all the addictions people have to drugs, to sex, to whatever. It's not good for the body at all. They use the body, abuse the body. In many ways, that's normal for our relationship to the body. We're in conflict. The mind wants to go all kinds of places, but the body can just stay right here. And there are times when the mind does have to think about other things, but it's good to have its thinking grounded. So try to breathe in a way that it feels good to be here, feels good to stay here for a good long time. Whatever's needed for the sake of harmony, you do it. And don't see it as a luxury. This is one of the problems with our society, our culture. It feeds on strife. It finds strife very easy. Harmony is hard. I think I've told you about the dictionary I was given when I was in Thailand a while back. They have a Thai academy, kind of like the Académie Française, which creates a dictionary of the Thai language, among other things. And one of the newspapers in Bangkok came up with another dictionary of all the slang you don't find in the official dictionary. Of course, slang changes very quickly. But as leafing through the new dictionary, I noticed that a huge portion of the words were insults. We're really good at insulting one another. And even when we're not really good at it, in other words, we just do it in crude ways, like we see so much around us. But it comes very easily to us. Conflict, strife is easy. That's what we think. We're good at it. We have to learn how to be good at harmony, both inside and outside. Learning how to be good at harmony outside is going to be helpful inside as well. As the Buddha said, happy is harmony in the Sangha. And one of the conditions conducive for gladness that can bring the mind into concentration is peace in the Sangha, harmony in the Sangha. So it's worth whatever effort is needed to learn how to bring things to harmony. Not regarded as a luxury. That's another thing that's strange about our society. They see the programs that bring education, health, and other things that bring harmony in the society are considered a luxury. They call it the peace dividend. When we're lucky enough to have peace, then we have the luxury of being harmonious. But the state of nature is conflict. And however much money is needed to build a huge army, maintain a huge navy, whatever, it's all worth it. Look at the budget of the government. It's crazy. Conflict is the real luxury. If you can afford conflict, in other words, you can afford to repair all the damage that's done by conflict, and it comes again and again and again. Harmony is the necessity. To think in those terms. Whatever needs to be invested in learning how to speak in ways that are conducive to harmony, that can bring conflict to an end. Invest there. Because you're investing in the well-being of your own mind. Creating an environment where training the mind is easier. Of course, it does have to be, as I said, in a right relationship. The venue is really interesting on this point. There's a very strong emphasis on not getting into arguments, not creating a split in the Sangha. As the Buddha warned, anyone who intentionally creates a split in the Sangha, knowing that what they're doing is wrong, they're just doing it for the sake of the split. There's a special place in hell for people like that. It's a very strong emphasis on learning how to get along with one another, learning the various skills that help life in the monastery so we can share our strengths. Buddha even says that one of the ways of providing a refuge for yourself is to learn the skills that are helpful for other members in the community. Because, of course, when something happens where you need their help, they'll be happy to help. But it does have to be in a right relationship. The Buddha talks about how important it is when there has been a crack in the community to patch it up, but in the course of finding out why the crack happened, if you find that the basic underlying motivation was corrupt, motivation for the crack was corrupt, there's no patching it up. So it's not harmony at all costs. Because otherwise you get a harmony that just papers over huge differences. Things can be very wrong as long as everybody says, well, it doesn't matter. If it's wrong, well, just we'll learn how to let it go. That's not harmony. It's not healthy. I know of communities where when you give a Dharma talk, nobody else in the roster of teachers is allowed to criticize you. Both lay communities and some monastic communities. No matter how wrong it is, you're not supposed to say anything contrary. Well, this is what gives harmony a bad name. As the Buddha said, true harmony is based on having goodwill for one another and expressing it in thought and word and deed. Sharing whatever special gains you get, having right view in common, having virtue in common, again, right virtue, not just any old virtue. Make sure everybody lifts the level of their virtue to the same level. Which is why it's important to recognize there are standards of right and wrong. Sometimes when harmony is stressed too much, right and wrong get thrown out the window. The Buddha wants you to learn harmony based on what is right. That's the kind of harmony that gives harmony a good name. And it really is necessary for our practice. So think about that the next time you open your mouth and the next time you're thinking about one another. If there's a conflict, what can be done to end the conflict? How can it be done in a right way? takes some extra thought. Well, that's a skill that's worth developing, even when it's awkward. Otherwise, then we go back to, quote-unquote, the necessity of conflict or the state of nature of conflict. But we're not here to maintain the state of the jungle, even though we're a forest tradition. One of the characteristics of the forest tradition that John Fuang noted was that John Mun and his students were all very, very neat and clean. They lived in the jungle, but their quarters were not a jungle. Very high level of civilization, even though they were in the wilderness, because they valued harmony. They were having a good, neat relationship among themselves. Living in a clean place is one way of being harmonious. Cleaning up your views, cleaning up your virtue is a good way of being harmonious. And when you have harmony outside, then it's a lot easier to create harmony inside. You value whatever effort is required to figure out how to get the mind to stay with the body on good terms, how to get the body to stay with the mind on good terms, so each can benefit from the strengths of the other.